Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. And imagine you're at the community swimming pool on a Sunday afternoon with lots of parents watching their kids take swimming lessons. And along comes a guy with a gun who gets into an argument with one mother there and shoots her several times while her own daughter watches in horror, as do all the other kids and their parents. That's exactly what happened last week at the Jewish Community Center in Miami. Carl Watts Jr., an angry, angry man, is behind bars again. He's got a long history of domestic violence. This time, it's murder. Turns out he's a person of interest in the murders of two other women he had relationships with. Miami Herald reporter David Ovalle has been covering this story, and he's here with the details.
Police have identified the man who allegedly killed his wife at the JCC here in North Miami Beach. And now we're learning that he's also considered a person of interest in the disappearance of a woman that he was dating back in 2014.
Sir, you were arrested for one count of second-degree murder.
45-year-old Carl Watts Jr. in court Monday charged in the shooting death of his wife, 30-year-old Chantel Harris. It happened at the pool deck inside the Michael Ann Russell JCC in North Miami Beach on Sunday.
He followed her and chased her down and shot her. Like an animal, like he was doing hunting.
The day prior on Saturday, Watts allegedly stabbed Harris six times. He confronted her at the JCC so she wouldn't press charges, but she declined. In response, Watts allegedly shot her. Police say he stood over her and continued to shoot until he ran out of bullets. Harris's mother and her young daughter, there for swimming lessons, witnessed the horror.
To me, it looks like there's probable cause for first-degree murder.
All right, so tell us about the JCC killer. I mean, those circumstances you were describing a couple of minutes ago were pretty bad. So let's talk about this.
So, yes, it's a crazy story. So this past Sunday, a man by the name of Carl Monty Watts confronted his wife at a community pool where she was there giving her daughter or there, you know, with her daughter during swim lessons, a community pool. Now it's open to the public and they have swim lessons for all the community. So, you know, this wasn't some sort of domestic terror attack because it's the JCC that just happened to be where the pool was. And he got into an argument with her and just pulled out his gun and shot her execution style in front of her own daughter, in front of terrified swimmers and children and other parents that were there at the pool.
How many people do they estimate saw this?
Oh, it had, I mean, I don't know exactly how many, but I mean, it was a busy Sunday, you know, Sunday afternoon. And, you know, so it had to be dozens of people. And he was captured by private security guards for the JCC just, in, you know, nearby. And they also found the gun, the gun they believe was used, ditched in a field next door.
Tell me everything you know about this. Like, reenact the scene for me, if you would. So his wife and his daughter are at the community pool. His daughter is how old?
So it's actually not his daughter. It's her from a previous relationship. And she is 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And so the backstory to it is the previous day, according to police, he had stabbed her 11 times. No, I'm sorry. It was more like six times. In the forearm and the thigh, somewhere else. So it was non-life-threatening wounds. And she managed to convince him to take her over to her mom's house where he let her off. And she barricaded herself in the house. They called the police. But before the police could arrest him, he ends up driving off. So at that point, she goes to the hospital. The domestic violence detectives are there. They put out a probable cause bulletin to arrest him for the knife attack on his wife. Well, that was early that morning. But by 3 p.m. that day, she goes to the pool. You know, she still has the bandages and everything. And she goes to the pool, and that's when he confronts her. And there, the cops didn't find him in time. You know, she went there. He knew that she was going to go there because that was their routine, to take the daughter to swim lessons. And that's when he shot her. He was demanding, according to the police, demanding that she retract the allegations, that she drop the complaint against him for the stabbing. So that's sort of the backdrop for what led up to the shooting.
God, that's really scary. How did cops catch him finally?
No, they caught him pretty quickly after the shooting. So he ends up running off, and private security guards for the JCC at gunpoint got him to the ground and you know, held him until the police got there. So he invoked his right to remain silent, although he did admit to the stabbing, according to police, the previous day. And now he's awaiting trial for second degree murder with a deadly weapon.
Why would it only be second degree, or do you know that?
Sometimes it's a placeholder, you know, and it could be that they think that he didn't go there with the intention to kill her, but just to convince him and then convince her to drop the charge. And then it was sort of the heat of the moment kind of thing. But my guess is they could probably upgrade it, and they probably will upgrade it to a first degree murder. But in Florida, you know, you have to go to the grand jury to do that. So. So that's something that's a very likely option in the coming weeks.
When we were talking earlier, you mentioned that he might be tied to two other murders.
Yes. So that is what, to me, elevated the story. You know, at first it was obviously a terrible domestic that happened in a public place.
Yep.
The cops had been looking for him, and they certainly, you know, it certainly is horrific that he managed to find her before the cops could find him. But then when I started looking, we started looking into his background. So it turns out he was a person of interest and frankly, the main suspect in the 2014 disappearance of his ex-girlfriend. This was a woman named Chiquita Scott, who went missing from her house in Fort Lauderdale. And he was he was one of the last people to see her alive that we know of. He was the last person that we know of to see her alive, and she vanished. She had been in a tumultuous relationship with him and had a kid with him. And she had gone to pick up some money from him that day in Miami. And she just never showed up for her job. She never showed up to be with her kid. So the parents have been very open with the media for years about this, and stories were done in 2014, and he actually ended up getting arrested and questioned over this, but he got arrested for some federal warrants on a probation case. So he was never arrested for this case. They've never had enough evidence to charge him with the disappearance or the murder. She's presumed to be dead.
Right. And another one, is this another girlfriend, another woman who spent time with him?
Yes. So then I spoke with the sister of another woman named Vicky Simmons, who was a girlfriend of his. And at the time that they were together, she ends up murdered and found in a motel room on Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. And she again, unsolved murder. They had, according to her sister, they had gotten into some sort of argument, you know, sometime shortly before the murder. And you know, she ends up dead. Again, another unsolved case, and a case that certainly he is tied to. Now, the police have not come out and said that he is a person of interest or a suspect, but they have, after the JCC arrest, said they are going to be revisiting the cold case. So I suspect they're going to hit it pretty hard.
What police department's handling this?
So Miami-Dade Police is handling the JCC case, which he's already arrested for, and the cold case. Fort Lauderdale Police has been handling the missing person. So, and you know, when you look into this guy's past, he's got a ton of domestic violence cases. He had another case with another woman that he has five kids with that he Yeah, he got accused of stabbing her and kidnapping her back in 2007. And then she ended up not cooperating with the police. And so they had to drop the charges. And he's got a ton of arrests. He's been in jail. He was accused in 2014 of trying to kidnap a girl from a bus stop in Broward County. And he ended up doing like 300 something days in jail for that. So very, very scary allegations, a lot of familiar allegations about, you know, sort of relationship with women and how he treats them and sort of jealousy and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's one of these stories that keeps mushrooming.
I'll say it does. You know, I feel really bad for all these women. God, how do you get mixed up with someone like that? I know you can't answer that question. He's probably going to have a public defender, because I'm assuming that because he had so many arrests, he doesn't exactly have a stellar career that can pay for a defense attorney, right?
No, yeah, I'm guessing the public defender's office. He's had in the past, he's had attorneys that were private, but I don't know about now. Right now, the Miami-Dade public defender's office is representing him. But I'm sure, and I'm sure it's going to end up being a pretty major case. So they're going to need, you know, and you know, they've got a lot of evidence. I mean, presumably there's surveillance video, a ton of witnesses. He's caught right away. You know, it's. I don't think he's going to have much of a chance of getting an acquittal on that.
What else do you know about his past? Anything?
Well, he's you know, worked as a garbage man at some point. That I know, because there were some court records, and he'd been accused of some robberies and stuff and burglaries. He got spent some time in prison for that in the early 2000s. So it's just one of these guys that's been in and out of custody for various things. And not a very nice guy, but you know, has sort of escaped major prison time for a lot of the cases that he's been a part of.
Let me ask you something, and I'm not sure that you know the answer to this, but what about judges who keep letting people like this out?
I haven't seen that in this case just yet. Right. I mean, you know, in some of the cases, I mean, you know, it has to do with victims who don't want to testify, you know, for example, in the other kidnapping cases, you know, if they stopped cooperating with the police and ended up just, you know, completely disappear. In other cases, you know, some of the victims don't want the trauma of testifying at deposition or trial. So they, you know, they end up, you know, just pleading it out to time served and stuff like that. So there's a lot of complex factors that go into why a defendant may not end up getting a significant prison time for some of these cases.
Okay. Anything else that I need to include?
Well, I think just these are terrible, terrible examples of domestic violence. And, you know, domestic violence cases certainly have shot up. Have certainly shot up over the last year in Miami. And they fluctuate from time to time, depending on what's going on. But a lot of these are familiar patterns, you know. And I think the one thing for people who may be victims of domestic violence is, you know, there's safety plans, there's shelters, there's shelters that are that provide private, you know, apartments and stuff like that for people who think they may be at risk of someone coming in and hurting them after they've complained to police, you know. And I've covered,
yes.
I hate to tell you, yep. Katrina, but I've covered these exact same fact patterns over and over again in my 20 years at the Miami Herald, and it's really terrible.
Yeah, it really isn't. Actually, I used to be on the board of directors for a shelter for victims of domestic violence, and it really is horrible. David Ovalle, thank you so much for your time, as usual, and all of your input.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.